UCI. It makes me wanna. KUCI. It makes me wanna. KUCI. It makes me wanna. KUCI. It makes me wanna. KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed on this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show or other programs on KUCI, please log on to KUCI.org for the latest program schedule.
This is a gentleman that I met, what, a few years ago, I would say, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago now?
Yes, I would say.
And I was on his radio show, and I've been in touch. He has introduced me to a great network of people because he interviews thousands. He's approaching his 1,000th podcast, which is amazing. So he has a radio voice that can only be rivaled by another radio voice. And his name is Richard Franzi. And he is an executive development expert. He's an author and a keynote speaker who also throws great events as well. I've been to many of them. Richard builds CEO peer groups for executives, and he deals with companies that are between 5 to 50 million in revenue. His work's been featured in tons of publications, including Forbes and CNBC, as well as Orange County publications, and he's an author. He brought two of his books here today. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I know you differently than DJ Ginger, but I'd be happy to refer to you for the next hour that way if that's what you want.
Yeah, well, see, DJ Ginger MC, they sort of forced me to come up with a DJ name.
Sure.
And I do a lot of MCing and
I've
hosting.
I've seen you in action. You're outstanding.
Thank you. And so I tend to brand myself as a ginger. I'm a proud ginger.
Great.
And then I threw the MC on the end of it.
Okay.
And then for the radio, I threw a DJ in the front of it.
Okay.
So DJ Ginger MC.
I have a new name for you. I like it.
Yes. Well, I respond to just about anything if someone's talking in my direction, whether that's a good or bad thing.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak with your audience.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
No, it's a fun audience. Everybody out there is trying to learn, and they know that when they tune into the show, they are entertained because we have fun, and
good.
We should have fun. You, I'm excited because you are a veteran when it comes to the radio, and the topic of peer groups, I think, is a fun one because I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins, and he says the power of proximity is the most important, powerful thing.
Yes.
I'm good friends with Leo Bottari, who
has
been with Visage forever, and he wrote a book called The Power of Peers.
I had him on my show.
Oh, yeah. Love Leo.
Good
and
book.
Just a big fan of it. And I think that from a social media perspective, your peers are easier to find. It's easier to collaborate with, and sort of social media platforms are almost like big peer groups, really.
Yes, and social learning is another term for peer learning, and social media makes social learning all the more powerful and prevalent.
So how did you get into this whole peer group? Did you have friends that were into it, and that's why you got into it?
Actually, I developed friends in a peer group. So let's go back in time to my last corporate job. Now we're back in time. And I was promoted from VP of Sales and Marketing to president of a division of a very large corporation by the name of Delphi. Had never run a business in total that way. Had always been in the sales and marketing function. Went to my boss, who was in Ohio, and said, man, I want to do this job really well. I'd like to find something from an educational perspective that could be applied to this job. I already had an MBA from Pepperdine, so I wasn't looking for that. And he said, go find something and come back. Delphi, obviously, is big on education.
Nice.
Didn't even know these things, which I call CEO peer groups, mastermind groups, roundtables, existed. Found one, started going, realized how much I personally benefited from the experiences of the other business owners. I was in a group that was developed for manufacturing companies only, and the experience and the opportunity to learn, share, and grow with them was transformative for me. It really was a hallmark of the 7 years that I spent at Delphi.
Yeah.
And I had an epiphany one day, DJ Ginger MC. I was sitting in Santa Barbara on a beautiful day at one of these CEO peer groups, and it hit me like a thunderbolt. I thought, I want to do what that guy's doing, lead these groups more than what I'm doing,
right,
running this Delphi division with $70 million in revenue and all the rest of it.
Nice.
And so through that experience, I went home and said to my wife, honey, I have finally found the career that is compelling enough for me to give up the corporate stick.
And she thought you were going to become an actor.
And she said, what is that, honey? I'm not an actor. And I said, this is what I want to do. And she said, it makes perfect sense. I was 49 years old at the time, DJ. I had two children about to go into college, just in high school. Not the time that your financial advisor would say, walk away from that corporate job, Mr. Franzi. But I did.
Well, I think that's inspiring for other people to understand that life doesn't start or stop at any point. I mean, you find something that piques your interest enough to get you passionate, and if it's the cornerstone of a 7-year path, all of a sudden you take that cornerstone and run with it.
I didn't see it coming, right? It wasn't a premeditated decision. Although when my wife and I got married in the 80s, we were sitting on the beach in Hawaii, kind of developing our life plan, because we're both sort of planners that way. My major recollection of my contribution to this life plan was that someday I wanted to own my own business. So from the 1980s until the 2000s, I was looking for, subconsciously and maybe consciously, a business that would be compelling enough to get me out of the corporate career track that I had, and I never found anything until I came across CEO Peer Groups.
Yeah, and what's great about your path is that you are connecting with other entrepreneurs, and you've grown this massive network of people that you can call on, that you have at your side. And I always believe that it's not as much your net worth, it's your network that's important.
Oh, okay. Can I steal that term?
You can steal it.
All right. I'm going to write that down right now. So
yeah. And if you want other things to steal, you can find me on Instagram, because every day I do a hand-drawn Sharpie quote.
Okay.
So if anybody out there wants to check that out, it's at Ryan.Foland. Now, you introduced me to Michael Houlihan and Bonnie Harvey.
Absolutely.
They're so great. He's a ginger too.
Uh-huh.
So obviously we connect.
Okay.
And I was just talking with him yesterday over Skype. We like to just check in. And he said something that really resonated. And he said, you know what, Ryan? He's a super passionate guy. He's like a big passionate ginger.
Exactly.
He's like, Ryan, I love teaching because teaching is a learning experience.
Right.
And I was like, wait a minute. I'm going to steal that, but I'm going to give you credit. So that's what I drew last night.
Right. That's excellent. Now, does your audience know that they're the founders of Barefoot Wine?
They might not.
Okay.
They might not. But yes, I like to say they are the two people that have been there and done that.
Yes, they have.
And their book, The Barefoot Spirit, is amazing.
Yes.
It's just a real bootstrap story of somebody who, speaking of seeing an opportunity, was in a position of a sales position trying to recover debt from one of his clients, and somehow saw this big machine through a glass window in a high-end boardroom that happened to be in a wine distillery.
Right.
And he said, well, how much is that thing worth? And they're like, a lot. He's like, what if we take that and some of that wine? And he went back and tried to sell that to the person who hired him.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's like, I don't want to be in the wine business.
Right.
And so Michael and Bonnie were like, well, maybe we do.
Right.
And that was the fatal decision that probably was the most difficult thing that they've ever done. And it's resulted in so many life experiences and
right.
struggle through.
And when they exited to Gallo, they exited as the largest producer of wine by unit in the world.
Yeah.
So people who fell into it in a way.
Yeah. And maybe that's your course. You will become the person when it comes to peer groups.
Based on this appearance today on your program, I'm sure I'm moving in that direction.
Whoa, the phone lines are blowing up. No, not really. But if you are out there and you want to call in and if you have a question about a peer group or you want to talk with Rick, I become the ginger monkey pushing buttons on the phone lines here and we'll patch you in. It'll be fun. One of the things on the show is helping people learn some of the basic stuff that nobody wants to ask about because it's so basic. And I've created this term called the GTO. It's the grandma timeout. But it also is the grandpa timeout, just depending on who you want to talk to. For those people who are really not that sure of what peer groups or mastermind groups or these words that you're saying, GTO mastermind group. So if you were to explain to your grandma or grandpa, how would you explain that in simple terms?
Okay, thank you. A large portion of your audience are UCI students.
Or UCI students, UCI
grads.
Community. I'm sure we have people all over the world that are tuning in or tuning in later. So
my point being, if you're in college now or recently in college, or you remember those days when you were at a university, think about how beneficial not only the professor from the front of the room educating and instructing had been to your experience or currently is to your experience. Think about those people who are sitting across the aisle from you in the same row, around on the same desk, whatever your learning environment might be, how much are you learning from the cohort group that you're with? I know when I went to Pepperdine and got my MBA, the cohort that I developed, the three or four other people that were in my classes that we went together through the coursework together, got me through the program as much as any front of the room educator did. And we built relationships because we had different strengths and different weaknesses. And by coming together, you find a group of people who can actually take you to the next level. And that's what mastermind groups, what I call CEO peer groups, are. They're a collection of entrepreneurs and business owners and business executives who realize they don't have all the answers, and that in others, I say experience in business is the best teacher, but some business lessons are best learned vicariously through the experiences of other executives, because some business lessons can be fatal, especially in an early stage startup.
Yeah.
You go look back and I go, boy, I'm lucky I survived that. And to be able to listen, humans can learn from others' experiences. We're kind of unique on the planet that way.
Yeah.
It's a superpower, peer learning, social learning, for the right type of business owner, entrepreneur, a startup person. You can. There's so much you can gain from listening and asking questions and being around people who are willing to share their experiences with nothing to gain between you. There's no financial relationship between the members. They're just there to benefit one another.
It almost sounds like you just described Twitter without the haters. or Facebook, an intimate Facebook group.
Right.
Or, you know, a following that you have on Pinterest, where there's no financial gain, but people are there to support and teach and share experiences.
Have common interests.
Yeah. I mean, there are oftentimes people, entrepreneurs, who will share when things go wrong. Oh my gosh, this happened to me today, and they'll explain it as a post, almost therapeutically for them.
Yes.
But being connected with those people, following those entrepreneurs, listening to somebody like Tim Ferriss, listening to people who have been there, done that, it accelerates your own learning. It accelerates your growth.
I completely agree. And I think technology and social media and the platforms that are evolving and developed are allowing you to reach a peer community that extends your physical ability to see people. You're no longer required to just develop it
with
people in your neighborhood.
It's not how many chairs are in the room, right? It's how many, how big your bandwidth of your connection is coming into your house with a crazy Wi-Fi that's Fio something or other, and your cell phone.
Or your cell phone, yeah. Right, and so if you are listening to this show today and you find value in finding people online who have shared experiences and interests as you, that's what a CEO peer group is for business entrepreneurs and executives. My role as the chair of the community, and in Orange County here, we're approaching 60 members. We bring together people who are like-minded, who are servant leaders, who know that they can learn from another person, even if that person's company hasn't achieved the level of success that the other individual might have, because they know there were lessons that they had experienced that maybe they've forgotten from those early stage companies that they can be reminded about. And sometimes larger organizations lose a bit of that exciting magic that startup entrepreneurs face. And so while you may be facing some challenges right now as a startup, believe me, it may be some of the best of times. I had an all-member meeting, if I may, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And the keynote speaker was Brian Smith.
Okay.
Brian Smith is the gentleman who brought...
GTO Brian Smith.
Okay. Brian Smith is the gentleman who came to the U.S. with $500 from Australia and trying to find the next big thing for him. He wanted to come to the U.S. and make it. He's a surfer from Australia. Long story short, he realized after several failed attempts of not finding it that when he went back home to Australia, he saw the surfers wearing sheepskin boots.
Okay.
And he took that $500 investment and brought over pairs of sheepskin boots. Long story short, it ended up turning into UGG brands.
Yeah, I've got UGGs. I've met him a few times. He's all around town. But yeah, what an inspiring story.
Right.
And then he's a story of resilience, because not only did he have the sort of the story that you have, but how many knockoff UGGs are there?
Yes.
And how well has that brand still stayed together? I think that's a great story there.
And he told stories of almost losing the business. Matter of fact, he told one story where he was severely depressed. And so entrepreneurs, and his point was, it's not a straight line from the start line to the top line.
It's not the graph that you put in your deck for your financial projections.
Exactly.
The one thing about financial projections that is true is that they're always wrong.
Yes, they're not true. What is true is they're false.
Right.
Exactly. his point was, at one point he had thought he lost control of the company, that he had literally signed away the business to two other investors, and he was out of it for a prolonged period of time. And he was, he got out of bed one night and he was crawling on his hands and knees because he was unable to stand up. And his wife, who he says is a wonderful person, just yelled at him, "Stand up and walk like a man." And he said that moment, as he rose, his whole outlook changed. And then he went about getting his company back.
Wow, I just got some ginger goosebumps right there.
Beautiful. Yeah. He talked about goosebumps yesterday, too, which it's amazing. May I?
Yes,
his story.
This is your show. Today is your show.
I love this. Now come invite me back. Anyway, sorry, the audience may not think so, but I certainly like it. He was saying how in his mind, because he believes in karma, that when you experience goosebumps, it's actually your body telling you have connected to a concept that even you consciously don't understand, but at a higher level is very meaningful.
I'm getting ginger goosebumps again.
Thank Brian Smith.
I will. Thank you, Brian, and thank you for the Uggs. I've got a black pair that work great, and my only complaint is I'll never forget sixth grade winter camp. Okay, hold on here. Jesus. As a kid, right? Going to the snow is a big deal for a Southern California kid. And I was so proud because I had my Ugg boots and I got the spray that you spray on them because you don't want to get them to get wet.
Right.
And I was walking and I can visually imagine the two cabins from one to the other, and there's this, the path everyone takes. And then all of a sudden, the path to the side. And I'm kind of an off-road kind of guy.
I
get a little bit, I'm like, this is cool. I got my Ugg boots on. They're all water protected. I'm going to take the snowy route to this other building. That's when I realized that my Ugg boots were not the best traction. And I hit some patch of ice, which I thought was snow. And I mean, if you've ever had Ugg boots in the snow and you're in an icy patch and you have the soles that are the cushiony kind.
Right.
Oh man, I went down like a broken piece of ginger, just bam.
Okay.
And it scared me. And so for the rest of the time I was walking, imagine like a crane, like just trying to put all of my weight on the feet because I didn't want to slip out. But I was too prideful to take my Ugg boots off.
Okay. Well, Brian wrote a book on his experience and he calls it The Birth of a Brand. One of his key points is you don't deliver a full-grown adult in human existence. You deliver a baby.
Right.
And the same thing happens in business. So if you're listening and you're interested, I would highly recommend his book, The Birth of a Brand. I think it is full of stories, just like the couple that I shared with you here.
Yeah, and that's like the barefoot story. I mean, these stories are really important. And in the CEO groups, you're taking these stories and you're sharing them together. I've got one quote for you to steal, but you probably have to credit it.
Okay.
And then talking about books, you brought in these books and they're looking at me and I want to talk about them.
Okay.
So Eleanor Roosevelt said, "You have to learn from other people's mistakes because you don't have time to make them all yourself."
Wow.
And I love that quote because it really sums up the value of listening to learn. It sums up the value of peer experience, of having a network that has been there, done that. And you said something which is interesting about in these peer groups, you can be relatively not as successful monetarily or whatever you want to put success as, but your advice is just as valuable, if not critical, to the person that is highly successful on paper. Michael said the other day, "Ryan, when you're at the top, the only way to go down, the only way to go is down."
Right.
Right.
Unless you find another peak to go after,
right?
You keep growing and evolving.
Yeah. So your books are, tell me about them. Let me see. Grab which one you want to talk about first.
Let's start with the first book.
Okay, Critical Mass. I got this thing like 5 years ago.
I know.
And it's in my, this is a hardback though. Well, I got the paperback, I'm pretty sure.
I can leave the hardback with you if you want me to.
Nice matte cover finish.
Thank you.
Critical Mass, the 10 explosive powers of CEO peer groups.
That's right.
Talk to me about this. What was the genesis of this?
So when I started in this industry, this peer advisory group, there's a lot of terms for what we do. And frankly, I found that frustrating because it's hard to, especially using social tools, it's hard to gain traction when there aren't one unifying term, right? Overarching philosophy, right? And so that's why I settled on the term CEO peer groups. I hold a trademark for that term. Granted that based
I was just going to jump online and try to see if I could snag it on GoDaddy.
It's too late, man.
Okay.
CEO peer groups. The reason is, in my opinion, whether you're a startup entrepreneur or you're leading and running a large corporation, you should consider yourself the chief executive officer. Let me tell you, from a startup perspective.
So you don't have to be a CEO.
No, you can be an entrepreneur of one, right? But the when you're ready to go and talk to financial people and outside investors, you need to think and act and talk like a chief executive officer, even if when you go home, your office is an extra bedroom or your current bedroom or a hallway, because there are disciplines about being an executive that, regardless of the size of your business, translate well, especially outside your business. So we use the term, I come up with the term CEO peer group. I also have the term critical mass as a registered trademark in my area of discipline, because I believe when you put the right people together, you create a critical mass of energy. Energy that is greater than the individuals, that actually propels and keeps the organic growing and learning within those communities. This is the first book ever written on this experience. Even though tens of thousands, millions of people over the years have been in these masterminds, yeah. I read everything I could, and frankly, there were white papers, there was research, but there was no one book. So I'm the first author who put together, and Leo and I talked about this when I had him on my program.
Yeah.
From a member's perspective, from a peer group member's perspective, this is what I saw that I directly got as a benefit, and what other members of the peer groups that I've been in were getting as values. There are 10 explosive powers.
Yeah.
And they're as simple as, it's really hard to get people to tell you the truth when you're running a business. Your family loves you too much to maybe hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Your friends aren't maybe the right people to give advice. And your employees certainly many times have a filter that says, I don't want to get fired by telling the boss what he or she really needs to know. They should learn that on their own. To be able to get in a room with other successful business executives and have them tell you honestly what they're hearing and thinking can be transformative for the members.
Yeah, and you know, right before I grabbed the book, this was unstaged because this is an unscripted show.
Yes.
We're here live at KUCI. By the way, if you are not following KUCI on Twitter, here's a selfish plug for KUCI. It's KUCI FM. If you want to find us on Instagram, it's KUCI FM. We've got a Tumblr and a Facebook as well. There's a few Facebooks, so go to the KUCI 889. Now, Rick, shameless plug section for you. This is great. Rick is actually taking a picture of the cheat sheet that we have here in the studio. Bam. Look at this. This is a great point. If you're at a place, instead of Rick sitting there typing them all down, he just took a picture of it.
Right.
So that's an explosive tip for quickly getting social media handles. It's just, one, having them posted on the wall.
Yeah, that's great.
And two, taking a picture of it. So how can we find you online, Rick?
But before I answer that question, I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
I do a podcast.
Okay.
And I'm going to do this for my shows so the guests can do the same thing that I just did for you. That is peer learning real time, ladies and gentlemen. Totally unscripted. Now I'm getting goosebumps.
And one of the first things I came in here, it's just because I help with social media about 25 different departments on campus, and I just listen, you know, I listen to KUCI all the time, and part of my excitement whenever I'm anywhere is how can I bring value. And sometimes the simplest suggestions are the most powerful.
Yes.
Maybe that's my quote for today. The simplest suggestions are the most powerful. And as simple as just having all the DJs on the radio shows and the music shows and the PA shows, just say, follow us, right? Just let people know how to follow us. And so a simple 8.5x11 with no fancy font or images, it just says, dear KUCI DJs, please announce our social media at least once every hour, and in addition to the legal ID. So here we are at KUCI in Irvine, 88.9. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on this.
Outstanding.
So just integrate it, right?
Right.
And the other thing, which is funny, is a lot of people take pictures outside,
right?
Where we took a picture here, but outside there's this big wall of awesome records. And if you have not been to KUCI, you should come and check it out.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You can't
cool.
just walk in. This is a secure facility. But reach out to somebody. There's an awesome class that they have every quarter. And so I saw all these people taking pictures of all these, you know, the backdrop of all the records. Every time you take a picture, you have first what's in the picture and what's behind the picture.
Yes.
And I had somebody on the show that does industrial design so that social media pictures are more supported. Like he designs tables for restaurants that don't have glare so that food porn is better better pictures.
Perfect. Yeah.
He puts hashtags and things on the floor, on the wall, in strategic places. So when people take a picture at a restaurant, the hashtag is there. So we took white records and wrote on the back of them, at KUCI FM, hashtag KUCI, and hung them up on the back wall. So when people are now not changing their behavior, they're still taking pictures, in the background secretly are the social media handles.
That's outstanding. See?
So on your Critical Mass Radio, I've seen your little studio, just like get stickers or something so that when you're taking your classic pictures,
yes,
your handles are up on the wall.
See, this is, I'm learning from a fellow radio show host here today. See, I'm getting as much, hopefully, I'm probably getting more, but I'm at least getting as much as hopefully I'm be able to get. Yeah, here.
And that's what's
show.
So exciting about the show is I bring people, I tell people all the time, they say, who's on your show and what do you do? Like, who, what kind of guests? And I say, I bring on guests that I can learn from. And that's what's exciting. It's almost like this is a one-on-one that is a larger peer group.
Right.
Because people listen and they learn.
Right.
I think this is great. Now, I'm going to go back to chapter one, A Short History of CEO Peer Groups, out of your book, Critical Mass, 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups. And remember, yeah, everyone's a CEO.
Yes.
All right.
Every entrepreneur.
I quoted Eleanor Roosevelt, and your first quote is Theodore Roosevelt.
Uh-huh.
And he says, never throughout history has a man or woman, I'm going to throw it in there, yeah, who lived a life of ease left a name worth remembering.
Exactly.
And if Eleanor chirps in and says, you've got to learn from others' mistakes because you don't have the time in your life to make them all to become remembered or have a legacy. And it's not about remembering. It's about having a legacy or working through something. Like you, at age 49, you decided and you found out how you can give back and the right purpose that you're going to drive and run to. It's crazy how this all ties in because talking with Michael the other day, education is a learning experience. I'm here on a show. We're learning. Everything's like a learning process. And it's together we all become smarter.
When I have two adult children now, and when they were younger, I always asked them to learn as much as they can at the time they're being exposed to knowledge, because in my experience, you never know when later in life it comes in handy to know that. An example for me is in college, I went to the University of Pittsburgh. And my goal was to be a radio show disc jockey.
Really? So you knew back then that was what you wanted
to do? That's what I wanted to do.
Very cool.
And so for 4 years, I was a disc jockey. I was the business manager, student publisher of the newspaper, all around the media. I realized that I liked business side more than on-air side.
Okay.
But my comfort level with being behind the microphone and my experience of hosting shows, when I decided to start doing a podcast in 2009, I had the base of experience from 4 years of doing hundreds of hours on the radio that for me, it didn't keep me from doing it. I was like, well, I could do that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that is crazy that I went to college all those years ago to maybe do this. And now here I am in my 50s,
yeah,
doing what I thought I would never do.
It's the Swiss Army knife that you got when you were a kid that all of a sudden you realize you needed as you were an adult. But the fact that you got it and kept on to it and held it and saved it.
Right.
Information. And it probably unlocks all kinds of different tools for you. Now, you've had a podcast since 2009.
Yes, March 2009.
Tell me some of the amazing things that you've learned over those years, because that's a lot. That's a lot of learning.
Exactly. And my archives are available on iTunes and Stitcher.
No, don't shamelessly plug here. How do we find these things?
Okay. So the radio show is Critical Mass Radio Show. So everything I do, I brand around Critical Mass, which I think is very important, especially on social media. If you want people to find you, you need to consistently position yourself in a way that once they understand what they should be typing in, the richness of everything you've done. So online, I'm Richard Franzi, not anything else, Richard Franzi, and all my work is around Critical Mass and CEO Peer Groups, because I also own those relative to trademarks. So I'm trying to get my thought leadership in my space to be more prevalent and more aware.
Yeah, and that's personal branding 101 right there.
Okay.
Which is great. And I'm a big fan of the personal brand.
Yes.
Because these days, your business or your radio show or whatever it is, it doesn't mean anything unless people know who you are.
Right.
Because people want to know that there's a human behind things. They want to know that there's an expert. And then you can take that expertise and you can help to share your expertise and help other people. And then you can direct traffic wherever you want.
So one of the things that I picked up, Ginger, from the radio show.
Ginger, I love this.
Is that every business is hard.
Every business is hard.
If you're running an easy business right now, be careful because it's going to get hard.
Are you on Twitter?
I am.
Okay, I'm going to open up my Twitter here. And what is your
Twitter? CEO Peer Groups.
CEO Peer Groups. Okay, cool.
So one of the things that I learned is every business is hard. So if you're out there as an entrepreneur scratching your head, or you're running a middle market company or a small business or whatever it might be, and you're thinking, man, I wish I was running this business because it looks so easy. It is my experience that easy businesses don't last long because other people can copy them. So if you've got a hard business model, that's a little bit of a barrier to entry. So you should actually lean into the hardness and try to create a business that has differentiated value. One of the other things that I've learned is you have to spend time working on your business, not just in your business. Too often, and Stephen Covey has a four-box quadrant, and at the top he talks about urgent issues and important issues. The difference being, from a CEO's perspective, an entrepreneur's perspective, the urgent stuff might be what your customers are telling you, what your employees are telling you, the things that are hitting your desk and your eyesight, your line of sight on a regular basis that have to be addressed. But nobody is probably asking you to think about, well, what's a business going to be in 5 years? What's your exit strategy? There are certain things that only the CEO of your business can do. And if you don't spend time working on those important issues, as Stephen Covey calls them, and you're always in the urgent, that work never gets done, and you will pay a price. You may not see it today, but eventually, it's sort of like learn everything you can at the time you have the opportunity to learn. Work on the strategic important issues in advance of when you need them, because when the time comes and an outside investor is ready to invest in your business, if you don't have the important strategic work done, you're going to be less attractive to them. Or, worst case, you get a multiple that isn't what you could have because you didn't figure out what the future is going to be for your business.
I think that is amazing. And I'm looking here at your Twitter. Okay, we've got, I create premium learning experiences filled with CEOs who care about each other.
Yes.
And it looks like you're quite the tweeter. You've got like 5,000-6,000 tweets almost.
Yes.
Got a nice strong following of people that are there.
Yes.
And here's where I think Twitter for me is fun, because that nugget of information, and you just lit up right there. Like you just, it's so fun to see how excited you are about this information to share. As I'm listening, I'm trying to think to myself, how could I sum this up in 140 characters?
Okay.
And for those people who are interested about why I love Twitter so much, it's that you can take a passionate 6-7 sentence spiel and then try to condense it into one specific nugget. So instead of myself just coming up with this tweet, I wanted to include you and everyone in this tweet. How would you put together a tweet that sums up that main point?
Wow.
Yeah.
Right here live on the right spot, here, huh?
This is live tweeting, but like assisted live tweeting.
Yeah. Could you give me a little bit more?
Yeah. Oh, I'm here with you. So I've got the tweet thing open, right?
Yes.
The tweet thing, which is the compose a new tweet. And you were talking.
You're so technical.
I know. Super technical. Ginger tech. Hashtag. Hashtag ginger
there
tech.
There you go. Let's get that trending out there. Come on.
I've got the box open here, and you were talking really about these different components of business and how really you've got to look forward.
Yes, at the important, not the urgent.
Okay, wait. So now I'm hearing important, not urgent. That's a nice little chunk.
All right.
So I would just start typing important and urgent, or what was it?
Not urgent.
Important, not urgent.
Right.
So that's only three words, and I still got 120 characters left.
Because I think that is the focus of the CEO of the business. Matter of fact, in my experience, the better the business is run, as it allows you to scale it, and truly successful organizations of a variety of sizes, as long as you have more than one person in your business being you, the CEO doesn't need to be involved as much in the day-to-day operations. They should be more focused on the strategic issues that and the important issues, which are the same thing of their business. So if you find yourself, if you're listening to this radio show and you find your day consumed with issues like delivery, product quality, customer complaints, or good news, right? Growth in a market, things that are tactical and important but not strategic, then you need to think about who can I have to work on these urgent issues that are critical so that I can spend time thinking about the important and strategic issues.
Awesome. So what I put together is the better the business is run, the better you can scale, period.
Yes.
Focus on the important, not the urgent.
Yes.
Period. CEOs need to be strategic.
Amen.
Okay. And I misspelled strategic.
And
of
if you're
course.
A CEO of one person, yourself, start with the end in mind. That's another Stephen Covey. Start with the end in mind. By that, what I mean is from day one or day 20 or day 2000, wherever you are in your corporate journey or in your entrepreneurial journey, treat yourself like the CEO of your business.
Okay, the CEO of your business. So I was in the middle of one tweet and you said something else that was tweetable. So I jumped
into my
notes. Yes. And I just typed out, start with the end in mind, wherever you are, treat yourself like the CEO of your business.
Yes.
So I was mid tweet and I heard another good tweet. So I went and wrote that secondary tweet down while I was in the middle of a tweet.
You're amazing.
Well, it's fun because it's like, what I enjoy doing is taking what people say and then regurgitating it.
Okay.
And I do a lot of public speaking, and one of my favorite pieces of advice is, tell people what you're going to tell them.
Yes.
And then tell them.
Yes.
And then tell them what you told them.
That is classic.
It is.
That is foundational. And the greatest speakers I have listened to do that. It's not obvious, but it's apparent when you're done, because people want to know what can they expect, and they need to be reminded of what they just heard.
And we forget that. It takes a lot to remember a little bit.
Yes.
And for those speakers that go up there and have all this amazing information and they just go this and then, here, I'm going to step you through the 14 points that happened with the three things. And each of the points have three things. And at the end, people are like scrambling.
Write that down.
Yeah, people might be writing for the first 5 minutes and they're just going to give up.
I'm done.
So I love hearing things and then recapping them.
Okay.
And so from a Twitter strategy, because sometimes people don't know what to tweet, right? If you tweet what other people are saying but rephrasing it and giving them credit, makes them look good.
Yes.
It shares information. It gives people a reason to follow you. And on that tweet, I had a couple extra characters, so I threw in hashtag KUCI.
Nice.
So now if somebody's searching UCI or KUCI, it might show up, and then that's one more person that might connect. And if they resonate with that, they'll check me out. They'll check you out.
It's beautiful.
And it's growing this online peer group one tweet at a time.
I love that. You know, we think that as humans, that attention is an unlimited capacity of the brain, that we can apply attention. And actually, in brain science and neuro leadership, the research tells us the exact opposite. Your ability to pay true attention is a quite limited resource. And you need to, as a speaker, as a show of here, as an entrepreneur pitching to an investment community or to a new client, you have to recognize that there's a voice in their head that isn't yours. There's self-talk going on. And you have to be more interesting than that self-talk is, or else people will act like they're listening to you, but they're actually thinking about an important other meeting they have to go to. So attention doesn't stay long if you're not compelling and interesting and making it easy for them to pay attention to you.
Yeah. This whole idea of self-talk happens a lot and people don't know it. So watch, I'm going to prove to everyone that's listening you have self-talk, and we're going to have radio silence for about 3 seconds and watch what happens. In your brain, all of you were like, is he really doing this? Is it been 3 seconds yet? Like, right, just right. In that moment.
Dead air.
What is happening? Where did the ginger MC go? Where
it's
did
crazy
Rick go?
Today.
Again, back to this tweeting strategy.
Yes.
I'm now in this sort of tweet mode, so I'm taking notes.
Okay.
I am not worried about live tweeting at the moment because I got caught with one tweet with another tweet. So I'm just taking little notes. And then after the show, when I have time and it's relaxing, because social media shouldn't be a stressful thing. And people get stressed out with
yes.
it because they feel like it has to be now.
Right.
The tweet that I send out in 30 minutes will live the same amount of time, which is on average about 18 minutes was what a good tweet will last.
Okay.
But social media doesn't have to be stressful. You feel this pressure that you like, I want to be here in the moment, but wait, I want to share, but wait. And it's like this internal struggle. So from a strategy standpoint, I just was mindful enough to realize that I'm really into this conversation, but I don't want to get distracted, but I want to document. So instead of worrying about tweeting, I'm just taking notes. And then those notes will become tweets, and we will build the CEO peer group online one tweet at a time.
Yes. Are you able each show to give this much content to your audience?
I believe so.
That's fantastic.
I believe so. But we talked about what I want to do with this show is create simple, actionable items. And if you only learn one thing out of the show,
yes,
that's great.
Yes.
I'm not trying to overload.
Right.
If you give your audience permission to do things, they're more likely to do them.
Yes.
So if you give the audience permission to clap, they're more apt to clap.
You're great in the stage. I'm just thinking about how you do that, how you get people involved in your presentation.
Yeah. In the same way as listeners here, I'm giving you permission to not take all the information. I'm giving you permission to find one or two nuggets that you like, that resonates with you, and then forget everything else.
You know, you talk about writing notes, and journaling is a skill. And I'm reading a book now called The President's Club. And okay. It came through this election. And what it is about how former presidents bring the current president into their community. It is one of the touch points for me about the power of peer learning.
Okay.
You're living it now in the relationship between current President Obama and President-elect Trump. The things that happened in the election stopped the next day, and those two are working together now, and the things that they say about each other are diametrically different than what they said up to the election day.
Yeah.
And it sparked my interest in this, and it goes back to President Truman and President Hoover and how they recognize that there are very few other people in the world who have ever had that job, who truly understand what the pressures of that job are, the limitations of that job, and they circle around the current president to provide a peer group called the President's Club that very different presidents have used in different ways. And I'm now up to President Johnson and how he was using the ex-presidents. For me, it was like, this is the power of a peer group.
Yeah, I'm going to go grab the domain President Peer Group, and I'm going to trademark that. And then I'll say, everybody, you're your own president.
Yes. Okay. Yes, okay. Hey, if I inspired you in that way, I am excited, man. I have enjoyed our relationship over the years. Yeah. I am so impressed with what you're doing here in the community with your personal brand.
Thank
and
you.
How you're positioning yourself.
Thank
truly.
You. And Rick, you're the one of the guys that you position yourself early on as a resource and somebody that's there to be helpful. And that comes across as your brand. So I've never been fearful to send you an email to ask for something or to support when you have an event. And I feel like I doubt that it's just our relationship. I have a feeling that the reason you have so many contacts and have built such a strong network is this sort of pay it forward mentality, or this concept of you're there to help. And through helping, it's your nature, because you're in this peer group. You're trying to help others. And then that comes full circle, pay it forward style.
I had a professor from Chapman. Can I say Chapman?
You can.
On the campus of UCI.
That's fine. Here. No, just say it again.
Chapman.
Beep. Sorry. I have my own regular. I mean, we have FCC regulations. So, yeah. Try it again.
Chapman.
Beep. Okay, we're on it.
Okay. His name is Dr. Nicholas Muir, and Dr. Muir is a professor of social media. Matter of fact, if you type the social media professor, he owns that term.
Nice.
So, yeah, and global footprint. he quoted research that says they followed entrepreneurs through the arcs of their careers and studied them. Those entrepreneurs who have a pay it forward mentality and corporate executives who actually help others because it's the right thing to do,
yeah,
they find they are more successful long-term than the other type of entrepreneurs and executives, because in those times when they face adversity, because they've built this reservoir of goodwill, people come around them to help get them through the difficult times.
Right.
And the people who don't have that reservoir of goodwill are basically left on their own. And then sometimes they have, I think of it as karma, they have negative karma in their life.
They don't get as many goosebumps.
They don't get as many. Life does not give them as many goosebumps.
You have another book, and it just keeps looking at me. It's a thicker book.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first one, for those people who don't like to read, because I know people don't like to read. this is a quick one. The first one is only, it's only like 72, 73 pages.
Yeah. It's so
how long would it take me to read this?
90 minutes.
Okay. Because it took me 90 minutes 5 years ago. So I'll refresh it. I'll look at it again.
Yeah. Please do.
This other one, it's thicker. Let me see it. This is The Power of CEO Guiding Principles, Part 3.
Yes, we've updated it 3 times since
Very
we started
cool.
doing that.
Gosh, these are nice hardback soft books.
Hey, quality.
Yeah, I'm finding myself rubbing it.
It's my good. Brand.
Nice.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't, personally, my brand isn't about rubbing. It's about being quality. But
right.
Yeah.
It's about nice quality, nice, good, matte finish.
Good stuff. So
tell me about this. What's going on with
this? So the backstory on the Power of CEO Guiding Principles 3 is on my podcast, I started to ask the guests, tell me about the philosophy that you've developed.
Oh, there's a bunch of people in here. These are all their people stories.
Yeah, that have allowed you to lead and grow your firm.
Very cool.
In other words, what is your guiding principle? And when I started asking that all those years ago, I didn't know if I would ask it for a very long time because I wasn't sure what kind of answers I would get.
Yeah.
And what I was finding and what I found and the reason why I put it in this book and I've updated it two times, it's the third revision. We're going to be coming out with a fourth one here probably next year. The guiding principle question, as I refer to it, and this book is their collection of their answers to that question. And it is that space between their personal philosophy and their business philosophy. It's the organic part of who they are that they bring into the business that I find sets up the culture, sets up the kind of leader they are. And so these are a collection. I think there's 130 now people who've been on my radio show over the years who've answered that question. And I thought, oh, that's additive to the book. And so we just keep putting certain guest answers into the next book.
I'm digging it. Now, I'm looking through. I see a couple guests that I've had on my show, which is near.
There's a glossary in the back, alphabetical of all the guests. Yes.
Liz Goodgold stood out because she's another ginger.
Yes, I just met with her last week.
Yeah, I enjoy her company. This is funny because one of the things that I've been recently involved with was a pre-TEDx LA project.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're a fan of TEDx or just TED.
Yes.
I love the fact it's like a big long tweet. And it's like an 18-minute tweet versus a 45-minute speech.
Right.
Instead of speaking at TEDx LA this year, I decided to do what's called a pre-TEDx LA experiment.
Okay.
And I'm just a communication geek. I love communication. I think that your voice is the most powerful thing you have in relationships and business and seeking help and helping people, your actual voice. So my proposed project, which got approved, is the City of Speakers. And my concept was to interview people with one simple question: what is your voice? And what I found three main takeaways. In 3 months, my goal was to interview 100 people. I interviewed 157 and I came up with three main results, and I was able to present them as part of sort of this TEDx Imagine Week experience.
Uh-huh.
And what I found is, and I'd love to get your opinion on this because it sounds like you're doing something similar. Like this voice, your definition of voice is this organic nature that you do that brings life, company culture and whatnot. I found that people are not exploring difficult questions. That's number one. And I'd be curious, when you ask some of these questions, maybe it's similar to my experience where I get a stone cold look in the face and they're like, huh? What? When you're asking somebody, what is your voice? What are you passionate about? What drives you? What gets you up in the morning? I got a lot of blank faces because they haven't been asking themselves those difficult questions.
Okay.
So the takeaway that I had from this experience of trying to capture the voice of Los Angeles is that internally in your own room or with loved ones, you need to ask yourself and explore these difficult questions. Because if you don't ask them and somebody else does, you might not be prepared.
Right.
The second takeaway I took, and again, I'm going to read this book and see how much this connects, because I'm really interested in this concept of asking people difficult questions that are really simple questions at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The number two takeaway, people are not using their imagination. They would say, my goal is to reach this amount, or my goal is to get this car, or my goal is to do this, my goal is to, and then I'd ask, well, and then what? Yeah. And then what?
Right.
And then what? And then what? And if you are just having goals, and then what? You're not sure.
Right.
So if you use your imagination and you set this like these visions of I want to, what if money wasn't an option?
Yeah.
What if my company was as successful? What would that look like? And so using your imaginative process to help get further than goals was an experience that people had after the interview. They contacted me and be like,
wow,
I really now am thinking past those goals.
Jim Collins in one of his books, Built to Last, coined the term.
That's after Good to Great, right?
BHAG. Okay. Big, hairy, audacious goal. And it is framed around what you were just saying.
Very cool.
The ultimate goal.
Yeah. And then that will help set you up for the smaller goals so that you work on the daily results that will get you there.
Yeah.
And then the third main takeaway is amplification. People are afraid to use their voice even when they identify it. And so I found there's two things you can do. You can get comfortable and identify yourself as a public speaker.
Yes.
Do you know what qualifies you as a public speaker?
If I've spoken in public?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And so I try to demystify. You don't have to be a pro. You don't have to be good. You just have to open your mouth and speak in public.
Yes.
And then if you are not comfortable doing that yet, find someone else with the same voice or the same vision or the same mission and let them amplify that voice. Get involved with community projects. Get involved with nonprofits. Get involved with other groups of people that are amplifying this message to help make your imagination real, which then helps you explore these difficult questions, which at the end of the day is goosebumpy.
Hmm.
So I see this as like your own project of capturing the voice of entrepreneurs, really.
Yes. I think at the end of the day, I have a talk that I base this on this book, and I call it Your Gray Matter Matters.
Ooh.
And that's because some of the most difficult terrain for a business executive or entrepreneur to navigate is the distance between your right ear to your left ear. And if that is fraught with obstacles and pitfalls and negative self-talk, it can be very difficult. And believe me, my experience in interviewing as many as I have and working with these people is it is fundamentally important that your internal self-talk and that distance between your ears is easy to navigate, because the world will give you enough challenges. You don't need to put your own set of challenges through your own self-talk inside your head. And this book, The Guiding Principles, allowed my guests to kind of bring out what they think is the most important area of the company, the thing they wouldn't sacrifice. They would rather not have the business than sacrifice that guiding principle.
And what would be maybe the one or two guiding principles that stick out?
It's just top of mind because it threw me.
Okay. I know you're dealing with like 167, so.
A guest said the recession, because his answer was during the recession. He said, don't waste a good recession. And I thought, man, that sounds counterintuitive. What do you mean by that? And he said, difficult times can make your company stronger. And this is during the Great Recession. For those of us that were in business, we know how challenged all business models probably were for the Great Recession, that you should really be welcoming those challenges because it's a time to make your business stronger. And I thought, well, that's a lesson that the Great Recession for him brought up, but it was his belief that challenges make you better if you accept them and figure out how to internalize them and allow your company to be improved on that. So that was Ole Thordarson who said that.
Love it. And I want to come up with a new word, tweeting while you're taking notes, because you're not really tweeting.
Okay.
Maybe it's note, it's not noting, but maybe it's twotes. So
twotes. So, I'm going to write that down.
So yes, we have created a new word yet again. Hashtag twotes.
Go on LegalZoom.com and let's get that registered as your trademark.
So GTO, for those of you who want to know this word that we just came up with, GTO twotes is when you don't have enough time to tweet, but instead you take notes.
So I spelled that T-W-O-T-E-S. Is that how you would spell it? Twotes?
Yeah, my spell check just turned it into totes. So, but yes, twotes.
Twotes.
Right?
All right, beautiful. Thank you, Ginger.
Now, I just grabbed a random CD off the wall in the experimental section.
Okay.
And, you know, what we do is we segue to the next DJ with a song. But in the sake of randomness, you get to choose a number between 1 and 10.
7.
7, okay. So we will be playing track 7 as we exit.
Okay.
But this is somebody. I had a caller who called in after the show and tracked me down, and he said, Ryan, you know, I love your support of all the social media and stuff, but you're at this radio station. I'd love to see you support more local bands. And so what I've decided to do is take that to heart and say, this is awesome, because every show I have a 5-minute transition song that I do at the end.
Okay.
And right now I just pull a CD off the wall and I randomly have my guests choose a number between 1 and 10, and then that's what plays.
Okay.
But what valuable airtime for somebody here's local in the community.
Yes, what good karma.
So in the sake of this pay it forward, in the sake of this peer group, in the sake of people that are listening to the station are probably more likely to support local artists, if you are a local artist out there and you want to be showcased on my show, as long as you haven't been a top 200 billboard, because that's the requirement for KUCI, we're all about sort of grassroots, non-crazy popular music, reach out to me, send me an email and connect, ryan@ryanfolan.com, and I would love to give you a short plug at the end of the show, give you some shameless plugs for your social media, maybe you can even call in, and then this maybe today marks the last random CD wall grab, number chosen at random, transition to the show. So that's in honor of you, Rick.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how that turns out for you. I think that is a fantastic opportunity for people.
Yeah. And it's about using your platform to amplify a message to a large amount of people.
Yes.
So we've got about 3 minutes left. And what are the messages or what are the takeaways that you would want to sum up, maybe from what we talked about? Because normally I do the sum up, but I trust in your ability to sort of recap some of the main points.
Okay.
Because we told people we were going to talk about stuff, and then we've been talking about stuff. So let's talk about what we've been talking about. And then you as a listener, I want you to choose one maybe two, no more than three main takeaways for you to run with for the rest of the day.
Okay, so I'd like to start with, begin with the end in mind.
Ah, okay.
And Stephen Covey. So, do the BHAG, do what you said earlier, dream big, set a large goal. Because what I've learned from entrepreneurs who have blown through those BHAGs is there's another BHAG on the other side of that one. But think big. The second one is the quote that I think I opened the show with, that in business, experience is the best teacher, but some business lessons are best learned vicariously through the experiences of others. My direct experience is, if you want to learn from someone who you believe is a North Star for your career, use social media, reach out to them. They will be all too happy to offer a little bit of experience and advice, advice based on their experience. Generally, people want to help other people who ask for help. So just ask.
Using social media to find your North Star.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Because you're actively seeking out somebody, putting them on a bit of a pedestal, so it's a compliment, and you're saying, I like what you're doing, or I'm a fan, or I'm a super fan, and then people out there, even however high up they are and however many millions of followers, if you, like, I really believe that they appreciate the people who are following them.
And they will probably learn something from the interaction. It is not a one-way street. Think about when you're driving on the highway and you have to go somewhere. Now, having technology helps with maps, but isn't it easier to be behind somebody and just turn right when they turn right, turn left when they turn left?
That's a great analogy,
too. That's what finding a North Star can do for you. And then you'll find there'll be another North Star after that. It is so much easier to be successful if you model other people's success and create your own version of your success. But there are people out there that are very willing to share their experiences for your benefit.
Wow. Well, what a great positive way to end the show. Much respect to you. I'm not at my 1,000th show yet. I can hardly say the word. But I'm excited to get there, and I'm excited to keep coming to your events. And I believe that for me, you're a North Star when it comes to this radio path that I'm taking, because you are the consistent engine that stays there through the ups and downs, through the recession. And it's a Swiss Army knife tool that you had back in college. And so it's inspiring to see what you're doing. I suggest people go check you out, cyberstalk you, choose you as a North Star. And we'd love to have you back as an expert sometime.
And would love that.
Whatever I can do to help, whatever the UCI community can do, I think it's really just about everyone learning from everyone.
I agree. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, so we're going to play this random song. I have no idea what it is, but I'm going to press play. And on the count of three, we're both going to say goodbye in true dramatic form. I'll shut off the mics. Count of three. One, two, three.
Goodbye.
All right. That didn't work. Let's try it again. On the count. Hey, sometimes it doesn't work.
Live radio.
That's what happens when you're trying to follow the GPS instead of following the next car. So let's follow the car in front of us. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Goodbye.
There you have it, another Get Notified episode. If you'd like to catch past episodes, you can go to getnotified.kuci.org. This is DJ Ginger MC signing out.